someone who is a grown man who can walk and chew gum believes that this Omicron, and he's just, you know, there's lots of them, but this Omicron has taken off like a forest fire. Well, okay. No more to say about that. You've heard it all before. In any case, there's more that Dr. McCullough has to say. He gets into I think Mike has talked about it on the show, the whole mass psychosis thing. It's worth talking about, though. He lays it out here, Dr. McCullough does in the Joe Rogan Experience, in a very concise way. And as I was listening to this earlier, it made me think about, how I've reacted to this thing, how our friends have reacted to this thing, versus how a lot of people who I believed had their heads screwed on straight at the beginning have reacted to this thing. And I've watched people's psychology change, and it's been very painful to see. And I think this explains it for me. And we'll listen up, and I'll comment after he says it.
How did they organize something like this? And how do you get so many doctors to go along with this? How do you get so many doctors to not speak out against the lack of pre-hospitalization care, the lack of early treatment?
We think there's about 500 doctors who knows what's going on in the United States.
Right? 500.
500. We got 1 million doctors in the United States. We got 500,000 nurse practitioners and physician assistants. I can tell you the nurses are more awake than the doctors.
Why is that?
The doctors appear to be, like many of our leaders, by the way, all the leaders of the major churches, every single one of them, the major religious branches are under the spell. Every major global international leader is under the spell. We're in what's called a mass formation psychosis. This is very important. I give credit to Dr. Matthias Desmet in the University of Ghent in Belgium. And recently, Dr. Mark McDonald, psychiatrist from L.A., Mark McDonald's got a new book out, The United States of Fear, describing how the mass psychosis developed. What your listeners need to know is a mass psychosis is when there is a groupthink that develops that's so strong that it leads to something horrific. And the examples are these mass suicides that occur in these religious cults. The example is Nazi Germany, when people walk into gas chambers and were gassed. These horrific things. And four elements here. It's very important, Joe. First, there must be a period of prolonged isolation, lockdowns. Number two, there must be a withdrawal of things taken away from people that they used to enjoy. That's happened. Number three, there must be constant, incessant, free-floating anxiety. All this news cycle, all the deaths and the hospitalizations, more variant mutant strains, everything, people becoming scared over and over again. And the last thing, number four, the capper. The capper is there must be a single solution offered by an entity in authority. And in this case is clear. Worldwide, the solution was vaccination. Everybody must take the vaccination. It's not a U.S. program. It's not a European program. It's everywhere. And you know what, Joe? Doesn't matter what vaccine it is. It could be ChinaVac, CoronaVac. It could be Novavax. It could be Pfizer, Moderna, J&J. It's interesting that it doesn't even matter what vaccine it is. It's just take a vaccine, take any vaccine. And so what mass psychosis says is, number four, the solution, there's no limit to the absurdity of the solution.
Okay, so let's break down those four points. Number one, isolation. Number two, takeaway of things and then giving them back. Number three, anxiety. And number four is the single solution. Okay, so let's break down number one. When this thing started, I don't know what it is, okay, but my spidey sense was tingling. And not just from a perspective of the research, okay, because I knew a lot of people who they recognized that it was not the most serious thing ever, but they thought to themselves, what's the big deal? I'll just stay home for a while. We'll just play it safe. It's not a huge deal. I was calling people. My wife, people thought we were crazy. We are crazy, you know, but we were calling people. My wife was like, you know, she said, you got to call, because I'm 33, you know, I've got a bunch of friends who are much more, much better men than I am in their 50s, and they're, you know, friends from church and things. And she said, you know, you've got to call these men. So I called like the patriarchs of the various families, and I'm all hyped up and I'm going, this is insane. They can't do this. They can't close the churches. Like, this is bad news. Terrible things are happening. Like, this is going to be the end of time. And, you know, these older men who, were more measured than I were. They were like, that's, I mean, well, it's okay. I mean, you know, what do they say? One particle of the Eucharist is enough to save your soul. I mean, like, they're just using all these positivity things, and they kind of calmed me down. But I remember thinking, oh, you just don't, you don't get it. Not that, and not that I'm criticizing, a lot of these guys have said, hey, Kennedy, you weren't wrong. I remember it being May, and we finally got to go back into our school because we just left on, you know, March break or something. And, you know, it's funny, my mom, she oversees an industry where they've got offices in the States. And since the time of the lockdown starting and the very, and I think some of them are in Michigan. So they were, you know, they had a terrible lockdown, and, some of those businesses have closed, or they realized people could work from home. Well, my mom had to send one of her staff members in these areas into the office. No one had been in this office since the day they left, you know, whatever the date was, like March 14th or something like that, 2020. And it was like this weird time capsule with like half drink juice bottles and coffees on the tables and things. And, you know, chairs hadn't been moved and just weird, you know. Anyway, we went back into the school finally, and I saw my principal, who, before all this started, he was actually a guy who would question vaccination in general. He was just sort of a very skeptical guy, very well, very good scientific background, very faithful guy. But he, we were talking, you know, we were standing 6 feet apart, of course, which is actually kind of normal when you're in a school, when they're so big, these hallways and things, it didn't feel weird. But I said to him, you know, this feels a lot like Soviet stuff going on. He looked at me like I was crazy. I said, it feels a lot like, you know, Stalin. Something going on here. He started to back away and was kind of like, oh yeah, that's great, you crazy weirdo, get away from me. And well, fast forward, this guy's now in a different school board, and he's actually in charge of the vaccination program for the teachers that are under him, and he doesn't even like vaccinations in general. So I guess I'm sorry to say that I was not wrong on that as well. But the isolation thing, so I was calling people, and we were going, we cannot do this. You can't. I basically was like, you can't stop living your life. You can't stop seeing people. And even some of my friends who came around, they were kind of like, it's okay, man. Like, calm down. We'll be okay, you know? But I saw a phenomenon happen. People that were not scared of the virus at the start, if they stopped doing everything they could to fight the isolation, they got broken down. I saw it with family members who at the beginning, they're like, I'm not going to live in fear. We'll visit. One of my family members, you know, visited me like a month in. Not a, you know, wasn't like a denier. Wasn't saying there's no such thing as a virus, but it was like, if you're not sick, I'll just come see you because like you're my flesh and blood. I have all that changed. I haven't seen him in a year and a half. The isolation thing. The isolation thing though is the same as the masks. This is why I've been fighting the masks. And again, personally, I've had no problem seeing through this nonsense, because every single time the government has said you're supposed to do something about it, I immediately rejected it because I knew it was from a horrible place. You know, just before this whole thing started, I had written my book, Terror of Demons, and I just published it at May 1st of 2020. And in that book, you know, one of the things I wrote in there was basically, you know, our society is sinful and our society is stupid. I realized when I was fighting the school boards and stuff on them trying to teach evolutionary theory as if it was a Catholic doctrine and stuff, I realized that there was just a dearth of intellectual weakness. There was nothing there. There was no critical thinking skills. So I knew when I was hearing these things from these organizations that were government organizations, I realized, this can't be true because you're too stupid. I mean that. It was like, this is kind of like what Scott Atlas has said. Is he said, you know, the incompetence is incredible. Scott Atlas doesn't even believe that there's malfeasance. He thinks it's malfeasance insofar as they're incompetent and shouldn't have the position. But he doesn't believe it's malfeasance. He thinks they're too stupid for malfeasance, which I find kind of funny. I'm not saying he's correct. I'm just saying it's an interesting take. So the isolation, that was huge. There were certain friends that we started seeing each other. And because here's the thing about the isolation. There was no enforcement mechanism for not visiting people. We were seeing people 2-3 weeks after it started. And we haven't stopped. There was no enforcement mechanism. There were no cops stopping people randomly. I mean, this has happened in other places, but it wasn't happening here. And you would talk to people and they would say, well, you know, I just don't know what my neighbors are going to think, or I don't want to cause a fuss. And I kept saying, you can't do that. You can't live like that. If you start to live in fear of being normal, then you're going to put yourself at a deficit and you're going to condition yourself to accept the things that are coming. And I saw a lot of my friends, thankfully, you know, I'm a little bit of a lunatic, so I kept on them and kept on them, kept on them. But a lot of people, sadly, who didn't believe in the sickness in this way, who their whole lives had been anti-vaxxers, and whatever that term means, but they did what the government told them, and it broke them. They've always worn their mask. They keep their groups, they keep their contact groups small, and they took the vaccine, even though they didn't take a vaccine for 30 years and didn't vaccinate their kids. And that leads us to the taking away. He talks about taking, the second pillar is taking away and giving back. That's why I rejected the mask. I said, you don't get to give me back my ability to go into a place under your circumstances. That's not how this works. You didn't get that. You don't have the right to tell me I have to stay home and not visit my mother or my friend. You don't have that right. You can't tell me to do that. You're not my conscience. You're not my brain. You're not my mind. You're not me. I will decide what I have to do as part of my duties. That includes going to church. That includes feeding my children, so on and so forth. Those are things that I will do, and you will not stop me from doing them. You have no right. The masks. You have no right to tell me to wear that. My face is not your face. If the mask works, yours works just fine for you. If you're wearing your helmet, I don't have to wear mine. The third part was the anxiety that he talked about. And I'll tell you, my friends, everyone I knew, not just my friends, people I knew who accepted, who did like the 2 to 3 months of not visiting anybody just because they didn't want to make a fuss, they had nothing in them to stand up to the mask. Doesn't mean they've accepted the whole paradigm.